Okay, I'm going to purposely try not to take very long. Okay, so we are in between series, as it were. I'm simply going to call this message, The Responsibility of Hope. The Responsibility of Hope. Okay, two portions of scripture. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 4, and then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the section that we're reading is really addressing a different matter, but there is something there that I want you to see and take hold of. But let's start in Proverbs chapter 4. For the sake of time, I'm only going to read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. This should be kind of familiar because it's a passage that we've come to many times. I would take time to read from 20 to 27 because it sets the context. But again, verse 23, it says, in the middle of all of it, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's going to talk about things that are yet to come. And it isn't my point to talk about end times things, but there is an instruction here that we can use for every other aspect of life as well. Okay? "Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night, nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him." And this is the one that I want you to pay most attention to. "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." Okay? A preacher who I, in the past, have found to be very helpful illustrated something, and I've mentioned it before, and I want to remind you. When how you are approaching life or an area of your life and you see no hope there, it is a sign that you're thinking about that area is actually ruled by a lie. Now, I know that we don't think of ourselves as people who believe lies, but if an area of your life has no hope, then you must have believed a lie. Because if you have come to Jesus and given your life to him as a start, then for sure there is no area of your life that is beyond hope. Okay? Hence, if you do not see hope in an area, then some other whisper from our adversary has come in and is ruling that area of your life. And I'm not trying to be in any way, shape, or form condemning about it, just calling a spade, as we would say, of calling facts as they were. If Jesus has been raised from the dead and you have put your trust in him, then he says things like, "Nothing is impossible for the one who believes." right? He says, I will even cause the things that are bad to work together for your good. So again, if some area of your life is being sort of, you have no hope about that area, then take courage, because in actual fact, that's simply a lie being believed. And the way you're seeing it needs to be corrected. Now, one of the things that the scriptures make clear to us is that when you believe in Jesus, one of the things that happens is that all of the reasons why God would not help you are brought to an end, right? In the Old Testament, it tells us in, I think it was the book of Isaiah, your sins hide my face from you, okay? By sins, we mean the things that God says do not do, not because it makes him annoyed, not because you annoy him, but because what you are involved with harms you. It either harms you or harms somebody else, okay? There are things that God says do not do this, or do it this way, that if you do not obey, the effect is not merely, well, then you're not on God's side. That's almost irrelevant. It is the reason why God hates sin is because of its effect on the people that he loves and the ones around them. Okay? So the moment you are putting your, the moment you put your trust in Jesus, it's like God takes all of the punishment that should fall upon you for not listening to God, and he puts it on Jesus, right? God doesn't cook the books, as it were. You know, there's a way of saying, that's an idiom, I think. I'm not sure if everybody understands it. You know, when people do their accounts, people who are trying to deceive who the accounts are for can play little games with the numbers to make it look like they didn't make as much money, so they don't got to pay as much taxes, or they make it look like they made more money when they didn't because they don't want anybody to know they've been stealing the money or whatever. And we say that's cooking the books, right? So God keeps an account. God keeps an account. And it has to be reconciled. And the only way that can be reconciled is if somebody pays the price. But if you or I pay the price, then the price is hell and we are destroyed. So Jesus took the price. The one person who should not have had to pay, paid the price. And all of what God wants to do in a person's life is rooted there, right? All of the reasons why you can't be helped, which, for example, sin is a big reason, is not that God doesn't want to help people. In fact, he goes out of his way to extend his hand to people who don't deserve it. But the sin in their life keeps them from seeing that hand being extended to them. Unless somehow the word of the Lord comes and helps him to see, actually, God's got his hand stretched out to you, and you're not taking it. But the moment you do, then you become something that, for the best way to put it, you're a different species. Now you're a person who God is for. Now you're a person who God wants to bless, and not just bless you, but bless through you, okay? So my main point at this point is, the moment you believe in Jesus, you become something that the normal thing is that you have hope. Why? Okay, why would you not have hope about something? Because you see no way of this working out, no way of this being rescued, no way of this being lifted up. Why do people give up hope on things? Think about it. If you've ever given up hope on something, why would that be the case? Like, does a switch get turned off and therefore you no longer have hope? There's usually some kind of reasoning on the inside, something in the heart that basically says, there is no hope here. But then Jesus comes along. And all of the reasonings as to why this cannot work actually lose their foundation. If God is for me, what is the second part of that phrase? If God is for you, who is against you, right? The moment you become a person that God is for, then what does it matter what stands against you? Now, I'm not trying to be trivial here. I'm not trying to imply the moment you believe everything just works out. But I do want to state for the record, as it were, the moment you believe, you become a person for which hope is normal. things can be brought to work out. Okay? I don't mean to imply that there are no consequences to the choices that we make. There are. And there are certain things that don't become possible because of repeated choices that we make. Right? But even in those circumstances, it is not normal to not have hope. If you do not have hope in an area, something other than what God has said is ruling your thinking about that area. Okay? Can you relate to what I'm saying? Or are you thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about? When all is said and done, we live from what is in our heart. And if what is in our heart is hopelessness, then what we experience is hopelessness. Right? And people may have good reasons in their mind for their heart being filled with hopelessness. But at the end of the day, that's the problem. Something inside says, there is no hope for me. There is no hope for me. There is no hope for me in XYZ, what, you know, in my health, in my finances, in what, whatever. So that means there is a lie believed. Not even God can help me here is what is at the root of hopelessness. Not even God can help me here. Not even God can help me here. And I'd like to point out that that reason why God cannot help you was extinguished on the cross. Okay? So, again, I'll say, if some area of your life is governed by hopelessness, you've believed a lie somewhere. I'm not saying shame on you or anything like that. Hey, put two and two together. Hey, that's a sign. Somewhere in my thinking, the devil has managed to sneak in a lie that seemed believable to me, and that's why I'm here where I am. That's why I'm here where I am. That's why I don't see a way through this. That's why I don't see a way through this. If you want illustrations, think about what it must have been like in the time of when Jesus was walking the earth and you were a leper. Right? The leper who had to cry out when he goes out in public, leper, leper, so that people knew to stay away from him. And it was, even though the law contained a prescription about what could happen when a person is healed of that leprosy, implying that they could be healed, okay? The normal experience was, once a leper, you're going to die a leper. Right? Then Jesus shows up. What must have been going through the mind of that guy, that leper, who says to Jesus, in the midst of a crowd, so he's done a lot of things that he's not supposed to do. He's in the middle of a crowd. And he says to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Where does that hope come from? His mind has been ruled by nothing can be changed here, and then he sees what God is like. Right? There were many lepers in the land of Israel at that time. And we have record of how many being healed. 11? Right? Maybe 12? Do you remember that guy who was sitting by the pool and waiting for the angel to stir up the water so that he could get in and be healed? And Jesus comes and talks to this guy and says, do you want to be healed? And what is the guy's thought? There is no hope for me. Why? Because I can't get into the water in time. I cannot get into the water in time. Now, I have to say, I find that whole story kind of strange. All I can think about is that God, in the provision of the law, made it still possible for somebody to get healed, even though it wasn't the normal experience. An angel would come and stir up the water, and whoever gets in first, like, have you ever stopped to think about that? Why does it matter what order somebody gets into that water? Right? But be that as it may, that was the situation, and the guy saw no hope. And then Jesus shows up, and what ends up happening to him? He's healed. He's healed. My point is that Jesus makes the difference. Jesus is not like an extra ingredient. He shows up on the scene, what is impossible becomes possible. And he has shown up on the scene, if you could put it that way, for every person who has received him. So Hopelessness is a sign that there is something in my thinking that is flawed, that is not in keeping with the reality of what God has done. There is always hope for me. So then why is it that Christians don't just walk around always full of hope? Have you ever met any hopeless Christians? Have you been a hopeless Christian? You don't have to answer that last one. Have you met people who, yes, they're believers, yes, but they don't see anything better than what everything else is happening to them? Inflation is so high, you name it. Okay, and I'm not, again, I don't want to be trivial about it. Inflation is high. It is expensive. Things are very challenging. And especially in the time that we live, in terms of the environment that we are with social media and all that kind of stuff, there is a saying even in that realm. A lie is halfway across the world before truth even has its shoes on. Have you ever heard something like that? In the environment that we live, lies spread like fire. But to oppose a lie, to say, well, actually, that makes no sense. Here's all the facts. It takes so much work, right? Because the facts of the matter, which is what truth needs to be based on, take time and effort. A lie takes emotion. And when people are already cranky and already upset and already suspicious that, I don't know, the government is out to get me, or so-and-so is out to get me, or they're out to take away my rights, some lie pops up, it stirs up the emotion, and it just spreads, especially in the time where it's like a contagion, social media, okay? The way that it's often used. So it's not surprising that we either encounter or are Christians who don't have hope. But what I want to start by pointing out is that means you've believed something that's not true. Use it as a sign. Whenever there is hopelessness in an area of your life, use it as a sign. I'm believing something that's not true. Okay? I'm either believing something about God that's not true. I'm believing something about me that's not true. I'm believing something about people around me that's not true. Something that is not true has infected my mind. Okay? Again, not you foolish Christian, shame on you. How dare you let some... No, that's not how I'm trying to put this. Use it as a sign. Where I don't have hope, something is wrong. Which brings me to my next point. Hope is something that you are called to keep yourself in. And sometimes the lie that people believe is that, well, I just got to wait for God to change my circumstances, to flip the switch. And since he's not flipping that switch, there's no hope for me. And it's such a lie. The reason I took you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and there are other places that we could have gone to. They're dealing with a circumstance where there's rumors about how things happen at the end. And if we go in to read 2 Thessalonians, so these are believers in a hostile area. Thessalonica was not one of those places that just loved the fact that people were turning to the Lord, okay? It was a place that had a lot of trouble. And in the next book, he writes to them saying, because they're afraid, we missed the rapture. We missed the day of the Lord. And he says, okay, this is me saying it. It's probably good that he wouldn't say it. He goes, guys, just calm down. Just calm down, okay? But they're worried. They're anxious. Here we are seeking the Lord. And then somebody comes along and says, well, it already happened. And you're thinking, I think the issue was they had people amongst them who had died. How is that possible? If, you know, you believe in the Lord, you don't die. And they're concerned that what about them? They've missed it. And he has to reassure them. But my point is, he brings them back to saying, keep yourself in hope. Or let me put it the way he puts it. Encourage one another with these things. Encourage one another with these things. Now, if you'll give me permission, a little bit of license, I'd like to point out that encouraging one another with these things includes encouraging yourself with these things. And in fact, I would like to say that if you do not encourage yourself first, What courage do you have to give to somebody else? Right? And this is why I call this the responsibility of hope. You and I who have believed into Jesus, we have been granted magnificent promises about who we are, what's possible for us, what God wants for us. Let me put remind you of another scripture. Do you remember that Jesus said, as one of the parables, does anybody light a lantern to put a basket on top of it? Who does that? You light a lantern and you put it under a basket. No, you light a lantern because you want light to shine around you. And he was saying that parable in the context, that's what you are. I have lit a lamp. What are you? You are a lamp that God has lit. Why? Because the place is dark. And God wants people to see. So what does he do? He puts you there. You who have believed in the Lord, he puts you there. Right? Unfortunately, what happens is because we believe lies, we go find a basket and put it on top of ourselves. And we don't realize, actually, I've been made to be a beacon in a dark place, pointing people to say, hey, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too far gone. Okay? Now, it may not work out the way you thought it was, but God can still bring marvelous things into your life because of what Jesus did. Right? So when I say the responsibility of hope, I mean from two perspectives. One, you need to keep yourself, let me quote the passage we read earlier, watch over your heart with all diligence. Why? Because from it flow the springs of life. So when you find yourself hopeless, do something about it. Okay? Now, sometimes that do something about it is go and talk to somebody else who can then help you with it. Okay? We are called to encourage one another. So this is not we're all individuals and we can just all do it ourselves. We are part of a body. And when one is not doing well, we actually all are not doing so well. And so we're called to build one another. Have you ever been in a place where you are down in the dumps and everybody else around you isn't? And then somebody comes along and just helps you, encourages you, reminds you of something. And it has the effect of restoring hope in your heart and mind about it. Okay? You know, oh, this horrible thing happened. Oh, yeah, you know what? Something like that happened to me. And God carried me through. He'll carry you through, too. And you work through things. So we are certainly called to encourage one another. But the point to see is, do not be a person who thinks, the problem here is God has not flipped the hope switch for me. We're waiting for God to flip the hope switch. No, you start with what you know about God. You start with what you know about God. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received our introduction by grace into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Okay, a long way to say, if God is in your life, hope is normal. If God is in your life, take courage. Nothing is so bad that he can't help you. If God is in your life, if you have given yourself, if you have taken refuge in the Lord, okay, it's pouring rain outside, and you come inside the building, a shelter, you've taken refuge from the rain from it. Well, likewise, if it's pouring outside, the effect of sin and darkness in the world is raining down on you, and you have taken refuge in Jesus, well, take courage. If you have peace with God, more maybe at the initial part of our journey with him, if God is at peace with you, then you have reason to rejoice and hope. And you build yourself up there. I thank you, Father. You have forgiven me of all my sins. Every reason why you should not help me, you put an end to at the cross. Jesus is my entire reason why you should help me. And that's my plea. I'm boasting in Jesus. What's my admission ticket? It's Jesus. I'm expecting you to change this circumstance because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did for me. Because of what Jesus did for me. So you need to take steps to encourage yourself. And that always means use something you know. To get more starts with being faithful with what you do have. Okay? And I think what sometimes happens to us is we get tricked into thinking this puny little thing is not going to be enough. And we don't realize we use the puny little thing that we have to position ourselves for the Lord to help us with more. If all you know is that God forgave you, that's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. The point is you got to start. You got to take that responsibility. Okay? And then when you find somebody for whom hope is not what is happening in their life, encourage them. Now, why do we need to do this thing? Okay? As I said to you, as far as God is concerned, the description for the world that we live in is dark. Okay? This is not merely to say nighttime is bad, daytime is good, because honestly, more evil gets done in the daytime than it does in the dark. Okay? So he was only using that as a picture to paint. Okay, so please do not be one of these people who are scared of the dark or, you know, night is when the evil people are out. No, evil people are out all the time. Okay, so that's not what he's talking about, but he is painting a picture, right? And he is saying, okay, you know, when you're in a dark room, okay, and you can't see what's going on, and you need to get from one end of the room to the other without stumbling and breaking something, what do? You turn on the light. Why? Because what happens when light comes into darkness? Darkness doesn't fight with light. Okay, it doesn't negotiate with light. Okay, you want to turn on. I'll tell you what. You just illumine that part, but I'll keep... No, light has overruled everything when it comes to darkness. And there is something for us to learn here. He has lit the light of the Lord in you the moment you have put your trust in Jesus. So shine. Don't let the trickery of the devil equivalently basically say, I'll put a basket. Yes, yes, God is with me, but I'm wearing a hat. I'm wearing a hat. He says things like this, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Lord. Right? There is a responsibility to who we are. Stir hope back up in yourself. And if you can't, ask someone to help you. It is not normal for us to not live in hope. Did I say that right? It is not normal for us to live without hope. That is not normal. When that is happening, it is not a sign that you're a terrible Christian. It is a sign that you live in a place that is opposed to what God wants to do in and through you. So build yourself up. Be willing to let somebody else build you up. Build somebody else up. All in what God has done so that you might shine. Okay? I fear, you know, I don't know if anybody else follows the news and what's going on. It is horrible to be exposed to the things that are happening. I'm not sure if you heard, there, at least 11 people were shot and killed in Australia, and they were all Jews. Somebody targeted them. Yesterday, I think 9 people were shot in Rhode Island. And the news never comes and says, a woman was rescued out of bankruptcy because somebody was generous to them. Those always form the special interest kind of stories that, you know, the newscast ends with. News is when something horrible happens. I'm not trying to put the news down. I'm just saying that's the reality. Most people want to know whether they're in danger or not. Most people want to know what trouble is out there so they can try to make plans for it. It also is the case, the weakness of us, that bad news sells better. Okay, and at the end of the day, most news organizations, they got to make money. Or they want to make money. So bad news sells way better. Right? Those are just the realities that we live in. But don't let any of that be the excuse for why you don't carry hope with you and shine. And this is what I mean about the responsibility of hope, the responsibility of who we are. Okay? I understand that we're not all the same, what's the word, temperament. Right? We talked about our friend John. It was hard to, at least in my experience, his daughter, me, no better, it was very difficult to find him depressed. You never, no, you rarely encountered him in a place where he's just so absolutely down in the dumps and lost in hope. He's always encouraging, at least in my experience. Again, I'm not trying to put him in a different category. That's a picture of what you've been made to be, a person who, in the darkness, God can cause light to come in, right? We are the carriers of the light of the Lord. We ourselves are not the light. He is, but we are carriers of it. Who we are instruments through which God can bring light into darkness. But it doesn't work if you, the carrier of light, allow a hat to be put on you that hides you from who you are, okay? So there is a responsibility to be who we are. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up with the truth of what God has done for you. You don't have to know a lot about God to shine. You don't have to understand the quantum mechanics that's underneath how a photon leaves one energized body and shines out. You don't need to understand all of that. All you got to do is be faithful with a little. And I guess the point of my main point is that you would be willing to take the responsibility of being faithful with a little. Okay? We are in dark times, but take courage. He's overcome the world. Take courage. Yes, horrible things are happening around us, but take courage. It doesn't escape God's notice the injustice that's being done, and he knows how to bring about what is righteous and just. Do not let what fills the world fill your heart. Because if that happens, well, watch over your heart with all diligence. Why? Because from it flow the springs of life. Your main responsibility as you walk out this salvation, work out this salvation, watch over your heart. If that is good, then life can flow from it. If that is not good, then life is going to be choked. Hopelessness is a sign of the life of God being choked in an area. Okay? So what is the problem? The light is a problem? No. You're letting something rule your heart that you need to dethrone. Not God comes and beats you up until you say yes, okay. No, you take what God has shown you and say, I refuse to let this be my meditation. How terrible the world is. How dark the world is. How dark the world is. I would like to say, I'm not sure how to put this. Okay, you know what? Since I don't know how to put it, I won't put it. It doesn't matter how dark the world is, as long as the darkness is not in you. Let the light of the Lord shine in you and through you. Or, to put it in the words I'm using, take responsibility to keep yourself in the love of God, keep yourself in the hope of God, and illumine those around you and encourage those around you, especially the brethren. Especially the brethren. We are the antidote for what everybody is going through. I don't mean we ourselves solve things, but we are the light. We can shine. We can say, I know somebody who can help you. And he'll do beyond what you ask or imagine if you let him. Okay? I'm going to stop there. May the Holy Spirit cover every place where the way I've expressed it is inadequate. But may you be stirred and reminded, if God is for you, who is against you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him freely give you all things? So why are you letting the thought, God won't help me here, have any place in your thinking? Yeah, I don't want to be trivial. There are things that have to be worked out. Oftentimes our problems is God keeps saying, take my hand. And we say, no, I got this. We are unwilling to change what we say and do. That has a consequence, no doubt. But even then, God can help you. There's not one of us who's too far gone for the Lord. Do you know how you know when you're too far gone for the Lord? You're standing in his presence. Your time is done. Until that happens, there is hope for you and hope for me. Right? When there is no more hope, he says, okay, son, come home. We get to be where we were meant to be, and it's all okay. Okay, we're not too concerned about what's happening after that. that was a kooky way of just saying there is always hope. Okay? When you no longer have breath, then you no longer need the help of God down here. But as long as you've got breath, the help of God is available for you. Take the responsibility for it. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, come and help us. Stir us up in these days that are dark. Open our eyes to see the glory of the Lord, that we might therefore reflect you into the circumstances that we're involved with, into our own personal situations and circumstances. I ask you, Father, both in this coming week, but in the days and the weeks that are ahead, help us to be those who are yearning for others to see the light of the Lord, that they might be helped. You are the God who rescues, who ransoms, who redeems. And so we ask you to help us. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us with the joy of the Lord. Fill us with the light of the Lord and the hope of the Lord, that we might stir ourselves up and stir one another up to love and good deeds in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, Father. Amen.